Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Kuo et al. Titled, MPST and not CSE is the primary regulator of hydrogen sulfide production and function in the coronary artery. This article published online October 9th, 2015. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Lead Author Lakshmi Senthanam, and Content Expert Chris Kevel. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. In this study, Lakshmi and her co-workers investigated the role and the source of hydrogen sulfide in coronary arteries. They report that the main source of hydrogen sulfide in rat, human, and mouse coronary arteries is the endothelial enzyme 3-mercaptopyruvate sulfur transferase, or MPST. This is in contrast to other artery beds where cystathione and gamma lyase is reported to be the primary source of hydrogen sulfide. In addition, their studies highlight a unique interaction between hydrogen sulfide and nitric oxide so that under control conditions, hydrogen sulfide donors elicit constriction, but when NO generation is inhibited, hydrogen sulfide donors cause dilation. Lakshmi, can you start us off by telling us what led you to conduct this research and what your hypothesis was going into the study?
Thank you, Nancy. Our hypothesis going into this study was to determine if H2S plays a role in coronary vascular function. And we actually went into the study thinking CSE was going to play a role in it because it has been shown to be active and present and affect vascular function in various vascular beds. But much to our surprise, CSE did not seem to have much of a role, but H2S itself was affecting coronary relaxation. And so we looked for other sources of H2S and found that MPST is highly expressed in the coronary vasculature. And so we've studied this particular pathway further in the study.
Thank you. Chris, I'm wondering if you would like to talk a little bit about circulating in tissue levels of hydrogen sulfide. As we both know, the reports in the literature vary widely. And I know that you've spent a great deal of time and energy really perfecting some reliable assays. Could you talk about this issue in general and about your experience, if any, with fluorescence indicators like the one used in this study?
Yes, actually. We've studied the bioavailability of hydrogen sulfide in different tissues as well as different vessels themselves. And we've done this using a methodology which is called the monobromobiamine assay that employs HPLC to look at a specific product that's actually formed when hydrogen sulfide reacts with that fluorophore. However, many other investigators have used other fluorophores that can be loaded up inside a cell and will react with hydrogen sulfide. But there's a lot of question as to what these products are that are being formed, because some of the byproducts of these products may fluoresce in response to other metabolites besides pure hydrogen sulfide itself.
So Lakshmi, working with these fluorescence indicators, can you talk about your experience a little bit? I know we've experimented with a few and found that it was actually difficult to detect real-time measurements of hydrogen sulfide production. So I'm very interested and intrigued by hearing about your experience.
In fact, in this study, the fluorescence indicator was only used in vitro to look purely at headspace H2S production uncoupled to cells. So we did not load these in cells, mostly because we did observe a lot of noise and unreliable measurements coming out from our cellular studies or tissue studies using the fluorescence probe.
So looking at some other aspects in this study, Lakshmi, do you think that this pathway might also operate in other vascular beds?
So we do have evidence of MPST expression in various endothelial cells, from the pulmonary artery, from the aorta, and in HUVEX also, which is not presented in this study. So clearly, MPST is expressed in many endothelial cells. And as a source of H2S, it does absolutely have the capacity to influence vascular function in those beds.
Chris, you've also looked at interactions between nitric oxide and hydrogen sulfide. Could you comment on some of your work and ask any questions that you have of Lakshmi about some of the findings in her study?
Sure, Nancy. Our group has looked at how hydrogen sulfide may be able to influence the bioavailability of nitric oxide through both its metabolism and possible chemical interactions. However, this is a really complicated field at the moment, and work from many different laboratories is showing that there can be some interactions. However, This typically ends up being studies done with very high micromolar concentrations of either nitric oxide or hydrogen sulfide that we nor others have found really exist in a physiological setting. They may exist in a pharmacological setting by giving a bolus dose of some of these agents, but still there's a lot more that needs to be done to figure out exactly what's going on. Following up on your other question to Lakshmi, I wanted to see if you could comment about what your thoughts are regarding hydrogen sulfide-mediated vasoconstriction of the coronary artery, coupled with what has previously been reported that hydrogen sulfide therapy would be beneficial in the setting of acute ischemia reperfusion injury of the myocardium. How do you see that that works?
H2S donors in various studies are used at extremely high concentrations, as you pointed out, leading to said studies being more pharmacologically relevant than physiologically relevant. In our study, we observed that under normal nitric oxide bioavailability conditions, H2S ends up being more of a vasoconstrictor, and at higher doses or under nitric oxide dysregulated conditions, it was more of a vasorelaxant. In ischemia studies, if the nitric oxide bioavailability is markedly reduced depending on the duration of ischemia and potentially the duration of reperfusion and so forth, the dosage of H2S could potentially lead to improved perfusion in the heart by improving coronary flow. That, in fact, remains to be studied, but that is something that we would hypothesize, is that H2S could be used in conditions where NO is dysregulated.
I have one final question, Lakshmi. Could you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on the role of the overall transsulfuration pathway, which CSE is a component of in conjunction with CBS, and how that might be different in coronary artery endothelium versus other endothelial cells that have both of these enzymes? Do you have any evidence or thoughts as to whether that activity may be different?
That is a really interesting question. So when we first started off on this study, we did think that CSE-mediated transsulfuration pathways would be playing a role in the coronary vasculature. In the absence of any sound Western blots showing CSE expression in the coronary endothelial cells, we moved on to MPST and found that it is expressed and in lysed cells does produce detectable levels of H2S. Now, MPST is predominantly mitochondrial, so it would be interesting to see if this pathway is capable of producing some of the transsulfuration-dependent effects that CSE and CBS elicit in other vascular beds. And one of the things that we could potentially do in other vascular beds is to use it to inhibit CSE and CBS and see if there's any residual MPST-dependent H2S that produces some of the same effects and try to extend those studies to the coronary vasculature.
And so with that, Lakshmi, do you want to give us a hint about where you're going next in your studies of looking at potential interactions between these signaling molecules?
Absolutely. The next thing we want to do is to try to obtain an MPST knockout mouse and look at the differences in the coronary function between the knockout mouse and wild-type mice, as well as CSE knockouts and MPST knockouts in the various vascular beds to discern the potential contribution of MPST in various vascular beds. And the other thing that we would love to do is to start a program to look at specific inhibitors for MPST so that we can inhibit MPST independently of and not affect per se the H2S produced by CBS and CSE. So those would be the two directions we're trying to go into now.
Thank you. And Chris, do you have any closing comments that you would like to make?
I think this paper is one of the first to really look at the different expression profiles of transsulfuration enzymes that are involved in hydrogen sulfide production in different endothelial cells, which is very important and I believe in the future we'll come to find out is going to have a considerable impact on physiological responses that can vary in response to, say, hydrogen sulfide therapy, say, in the heart versus the peripheral circulation. So I look forward to reading more discoveries from this laboratory.
So there you have it. The current study suggests hydrogen sulfide has very different actions in diseased coronary arteries where NO bioavailability is limited in contrast to healthy arteries. Thus, the role of hydrogen sulfide in the coronary circulation may be different from that in other vascular beds. The field of hydrogen sulfide research is still young, with much unknown about how, where, and when hydrogen sulfide participates in regulating vascular tone. Thank you both for participating, and I look forward to future work from both your laboratories to help clarify this ongoing field.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.